Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, I moved all my money, all $300.
Yeah, you took it all out?
Into Bitcoin.
You panicked.
And I don't know. Sometimes, you know, there are days where I think you just bury your whatever money you have in your yard.
That's
just
right.
Find a big can and just bury it somewhere safe.
But that, you know, that's not a real
But you have to fight. But I know. But you have to fight the instinct to do stupid stuff like that.
I know. Like looking at your 401k or your kids' college fund.
No.
Don't even look right now.
But I think Warren Buffett, I think he sees this, as many do, as a buying opportunity. What is cheap? What dropped too much? Mm-hmm. And what should we be buying?
He's so smart and rich. We should probably
listen.
That.
Yeah, listen to people like Warren Buffett. Or listen to people like Jim Kahn. He's Chief Investment Officer at the Wealth Enhancement Group. And we're really happy to have you on. Thank you, Jim.
That impulse runs deep to bury your money here in Minnesota. Because that's what the Vikings used to do, right? They would take out their finds and bury them in their hoards, and we're still digging them up today.
Yeah.
So that runs deep here. But it's not a great idea.
So what are you telling your clients, Jim?
Well, I think on Friday was kind of a scary day because you saw both stocks and bonds decline at the same time. So a lot of what we preach to our clients is the mantra of diversification. And diversification works really well because generally when stocks are going up, bonds are going down. When bonds are going up, stocks are going down. And so you always have something in the portfolio that's winning. And I think on Friday, a lot of people were really nervous because the correlation or the relationship between stocks and bonds didn't seem to hold. What we saw then in the panic on Monday is that at least we're getting some relief from the bonds. And so we could tell our clients that even though volatility picked up, even though the roller coaster of the stock market was back on its tracks, that this idea of having, you know, your eggs in multiple baskets as opposed to putting all your eggs in one basket, that will ultimately save you a lot of heartache. And so that was the first thing. And the second thing is, the stock market has never not recovered, which is something that I tell clients all the time. So through all the horrible things that our clients can remember,
good
whether
point.
It was the Cold War or the Great Depression or what we went through as a country on 9/11, the stock market has never not recovered. And so as long as you have a long time horizon, your best bet is to put your money in the stock market.
Yep.
And yesterday, I mean, we've been having record highs. The stock market was over 25,000. Today they're calling it Tuesday turnaround. All right, it closed at 24,912, but that was up 567 points. I mean, that seems like a large turnaround. What did we lose yesterday? 1,100?
1,100, right, at the end of the day.
Yeah, it was. So we ended up almost 2.33% on the Dow. So I've stopped thinking about the Dow and the S&P in terms of number of points because those don't mean anything to me. I remember when the Dow was trading at 7,000.
Right.
So 500 points on the Dow at 7,000 is really different than 500 points on the Dow when we're close to 25,000. And so I think we need to start thinking about things in terms of percent. And what's scary to people is that it seems like there's no rhyme or reason to what's going on. And I think that that's actually the good news here. And the good news is that the stock market just does this from time to time. And as long as we know this is going to happen, we should be able to sort of just not look at our 401ks, not look at our accounts online, and just, you know, carry on with our day without being overly sort of upset about it. And that's the real answer, is just to understand that these ups and downs are just part of being an investor. And over the last 2 years, that's been what's abnormal. We haven't really had a down 2% day in 24 months up until last Friday. And so that was abnormal. What's happening today is actually more normal than what we've been experiencing.
Just letting off steam, right? I mean, nothing moves in a straight line. So it's kind of a stair step. I get my question for you, Jim. Yeah, have any fundamentals changed with the economy? Some people are saying, well, it's a symptom of the Fed possibly raising rates. Other people say, well, it's because the economy is doing too well and growth is too strong, and you know this may be a way to put the brakes on. But has anything changed, or is the prospect of a government shutdown, does that enter into the calculus here or not?
Well, I think the hardest thing for people who aren't professional investors to understand is that the stock market and the economy aren't necessarily linked. So most people think if the stock market's doing well, then the economy should do well. And that's right. That's sometimes true. But what happens is if the economy does too well, then the prices of things rise. We end up with inflation. Mm-hmm. And when you have inflation, you end up with higher interest rates. And higher interest rates means that it's more expensive for companies to borrow, for consumers to go out and, you know, put a new roof on the house or buy things on their credit card. And that actually then slows the economy down. And so what we're seeing now is that unemployment is nearing 20-year lows. We're actually starting to see wage growth pick up, so people are getting those long overdue wage increases finally after years of waiting. But what the market is saying is, wait a minute, it's all of a sudden going to get more expensive to borrow and invest, and so then there's a little bit more fear about whether or not and how long this period of growth can continue. And so that type of volatility is totally normal. The good news is that even though interest rates are moving up, and even though things are getting better in a way that's not necessarily good for the stock market, on average and over time, the markets tend to do pretty well during periods of rising rates, simply because rising rates generally tend to follow rising earnings. And so watch the earnings. As long as the earnings stay positive and as long as earnings growth stays solid, you know, I don't think we have to worry about the bottom falling out on this market.
So you're still a bull, it sounds like.
Well, things are pretty expensive. So if you look at price to earnings, if you look at price to book, these are the metrics that professional investors look at to determine whether or not the market looks cheap or expensive. U.S. equities do look pretty expensive. That said, as we look around the world, emerging markets look relatively inexpensive. Europe looks relatively inexpensive. And certain segments of the United States look relatively inexpensive, like financials. So even though the market as a whole still looks pretty steeply valued, even after these couple of days of sell-offs, there's still great opportunities to be found by those that are looking.
All right, I'm going to dig up that tin can in my backyard, put it back into the market. Jim Kahn, Chief Investment Officer, Wealth Enhancement Group. We really appreciate your perspective and context.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jim.
And calm.
Yeah.
Yes, we need some.
Just take a deep breath. This too shall pass.
That's right. It is 5:18. When we get back, hey, let's play a game. Let's play our fake news game.
Let's give away stuff, too.
That's right. This time, Paul is not going to play because we have Timberwolves tickets to give away. Sunday, February 11th at 6 p.m. against the Sacramento Kings. If you want the tickets, play fake news with me, 651-989-9226. Call now. Welcome. All lies, by the way. All lies in our open. All fake news.
Yeah.
All alternative facts.
Amazing.
Here's how we play this game. You tell me if it is real or if it is fake. Our contestant today is Paul from Prior Lake. Hey, Paul.
It's good to be with you.
Hey, how's it going?
Not you, the other Paul. Oh, yes, okay. The one who's getting the tickets to the Timberwolves game.
He gets to go.
He does.
Paul, you want to take me to the game?
Sure.
long
he said reluctantly.
Pause.
Well, Paul, you know you get the tickets even if you don't answer correctly. It's all just fun to have you here. So thanks for playing.
Yeah, excellent.
Can you make that a little bit lower, Susan? All right, here we go. Here's how it is. I read you a story. You tell me if it is fake news or if it is the God's honest truth. Dateline New York, in response to numerous complaints regarding recent delays and route changes to the city's public transit system, the Metropolitan Transit Authority said at a press conference today that if the residents don't like it, they can walk. Seriously. While we always do our best, the quote says, to avoid inconveniencing our customers, city residents should be aware at any time that they are more than welcome to walk to get to their destinations. That was the MTA spokesman, Reggie Dawes. He added that the city's comprehensive street grid is a system easily accessible on foot. He went on to say, we apologize to anyone frustrated by the interruptions in our service of the incredibly intricate 24-hour transportation system that provides fast commutes and relative ease and comfort. But remember, you can walk. True or false? Happened at the press conference for the MTA today in New York City.
Boy, that sounds true.
See, I thought it was true, too, but unfortunately.
Oh, man.
But isn't that something that would happen at a New York City press conference?
I could see that in New York.
Right?
Yeah.
Get off your butts. Get out of the subway and just walk, people.
Just walk.
You got 2 feet. You know what is another grid? The sidewalks. Go take them. Can't you just see that happening?
Shut your mouth and walk.
Maybe in Philadelphia. That's what we know from Philadelphia. All right, Paul, you're not off to a great start, but maybe you can redeem yourself here. Dateline Fort Worth, Texas, explaining that only a small percentage of passengers ever hit it off to the point they carry on a conversation for the duration of their flight. American Airlines announced today it will no longer attempt to match seatmates by their personal interests. Spokesperson said, quote, for years, American Airlines has committed itself to pairing up travelers with similar backgrounds, careers, hobbies, in the hopes they would take pleasure in each other's companies while en route to their destination. But the time has come to phase out this service. Oh, that was the CEO, Doug Parker. He noted that the company could no longer justify the long hours and thousands of employees they were dedicating each day to make sure every customer was seated next to somebody with which they would enjoy a friendly exchange. He said, with a few exceptions, however, we found the vast majority of people just want to put on their headphones and take a nap. So, passenger friend program on American Airlines, true or false?
That sounds false.
Can you imagine American Airlines trying to seat us next to somebody that we would like?
I've been on American, and I've been next to people that I don't think I was compatible with.
I'm waiting for one of them to start a dating service.
Okay. Let me tell you, Afton Alps does this. We're going to have somebody
really?
On the show on February 14th.
On the chairlift?
Yes. They have a speed dating chairlift program that they've started. I think it's so fun. So Pamela over there is going to join us to talk about it on February
14th. Great idea.
Well, you thought of it. I know. And, well, they did first. All right. I'm sorry, Paul. We are moving on. Let's get to another one. Former high-level officials and scientists with deep space experience who've always remained in the shadows have come forward on one platform. These insiders have longstanding connections with government agencies, which may have programs investigating UFOs or UAPs. I didn't know. Did you know this other, Paul? They're called unidentified aerial phenomenon.
No, that's news to me.
Yeah, UAP is also called a UFO. So get this. The team includes a 25-year veteran of the CIA's Director of Operations Lockheed Martin Program for Advanced Systems and a former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence. Well, today marked the official launch of TTS, To the Stars Academy, an innovative public benefit who will advance the research into unexplained phenomenon. It has been established 3 synergistic divisions, science, aerospace, and entertainment. We believe there are discoveries that are within our reach that will revolutionize the human experience. According to a TTS statement, its team members, who have been operating under the shadows of top secrecy for decades, believe there is sufficient credible evidence of UAP or UFO that proves exotic technologies exist and could revolutionize the human experience. So this is the government coming forward and saying UFOs exist. True or false?
Say that's true.
Well, I'm impressed.
He's 2 for 3. He caught up.
I know, but can you
doing
believe
okay,
that?
Paul. Yeah.
So the government's saying, yep, it's real, and we're out in the open, and we're going to study them now.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
It is.
I want to see what they find.
X-Files.
All right, let's sneak in one more. We got one more, okay? A Virginia man followed his dreams, and it led him right to a 6-figure lottery jackpot. Victor Armol dreamed about the numbers 3, 10, 17, 26, and 32. When he woke, he used them for an identical cash 5 tickets. He said, I never had a dream like that before. He's a computer programmer from Virginia. The numbers hit, making all 4 ticket winners of the $100,000 top prize, earned him $400,000. He says he plans to invest his winnings. The odds of winning the Virginia Lottery cash game are 1 in 278,000. Dude had a dream and then played the numbers and won.
Wow. That's pretty amazing.
True or false,
if
Paul?
It's true.
That's probably true.
Wow.
Did you look at my notes? How did you know that was true? That sounds so made up.
I know, it does.
You know, people dream about stuff all the time. And
premonitions.
Happen, for sure.
I better start remembering my dreams. Well, Paul from Prior Lake, you did a fabulous job.
Way to go, Paul.
Yeah, you were 3 for 4. I am super impressed, and we hope you have a great time at the game. Thank you so much.
Hey, looking forward to it. Thanks so much.
You got it. Enjoy. See what happens when you listen to CCO and you play our silly games? You get tickets to Timberwolves here on Timberwolves Tuesday.
Paul, pick me up at 6. Okay?
Yeah. He doesn't want to go with you.
Well, we don't know that.
He doesn't. It's 5:31.
A lot of fun at Wolves games.
Let's take a break for news, and we'll be back after the break.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personality.
Welcome back. It is 5:38. Paul and Jordana here. Thank you for spending some time with us today. Sad story to tell you about, and hopefully a learning place for parents, for anyone who uses social media. University of Pennsylvania sophomore Blaze Bernstein was spending time with his family at home in Southern California on winter break. This happened in January, and he went missing on January 3rd. He was 19 years old when his body was found January 9th in a shallow grave not far from his parents' hometown. Police say there could have been things on his phone that may have helped finding his killer, and apps may have been covering up, technology may have been covering up things that could have helped the police investigation. Our next guest is here to talk about what happened to Blaze and talk about how technology, we want to use it for good for the police and not to hide or cover anything up. Dr. Hillary Buff is a therapist, an educator, and a parent. She also, it's my understanding, Dr. Buff, that you knew Blaze and his family.
That's correct. I had the pleasure of growing up with Blaze's father. We were in high school, junior high and high school together in a youth group and stayed in touch over the years. They're really two terrific parents and have been role models, I think, to so many of us after Blaze's murder.
Well, we're so sorry, really. We're so sorry. Yeah. This is a horrible, horrible tragedy. Can you tell us what happened to Blaze?
Well, you know, it's all over the news, and I'm sure in terms of the details, you know, people can kind of read about it. But, you know, the basic part about it, I think what really concerned me, not only as a therapist, but as a parent, is that, you know, Blaze, you know, like his parents, really bright, smart, creative human being. And he was on break and went to meet a friend, or let's say an acquaintance that he knew from high school. They had attended, it's kind of up in the air if they were close when they were in high school, but they had been on Snapchat together. And so over break, you know, kind of after he made a wonderful dinner for his family, everyone went to their rooms, and he went and met this friend. The friend came and picked him up, and he never returned. And this young man has been arrested, and you know, he's being held. You know, they've just recently at $5 million bail for the murder of Blaze. And what's concerning about it, obviously, is that being a smart, intelligent child, you know, Snapchat is an interesting app, and a lot of our kids use it. And obviously, when his parents need to kind of find out about his whereabouts, they had a, you know, his mom had to kind of go into his computer and look up what he had been doing. And what part of the struggle is, as we know with not only Snapchat, and there are a few other ones, it's, you know, one of the names I find a lot of the teenagers use is they call it snap porn, because basically you can only see a photo or video from your phone and then it self-destructs.
Mm-hmm. So yes, that's no how Snapchat kind of, works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no trail of it. And so, unfortunately, even though a lot of teenagers like it because it disappears, it also is very hard because parents might not be able to find any information once it's disappeared.
So, doctor, what is the takeaway? I mean, what can parents look for? And none of us want to be snooping around on our kids' smartphones, but what are some of the... What are, well, yeah, I know you got a 14-year-old.
I snoop. Mm-hmm.
I know it's not a democracy, not yet. But what can we do? I mean, this is every parent's worst nightmare.
Yeah, you know, Paul, it's a great question, and I really appreciate, Jordana, your, you know, you say, yeah, I want to snoop. You know, I kind of say this. I'm a digital immigrant, right? And our children are digital natives. They know so much. And what we know with all the research is, the ideal is to talk to our kids about this and talk more and talk more. And then what I do is I really petition as many people in my children's lives, including their schools, to do as much cyber information as possible, because unfortunately, I do think technology is so smart and our kids are smarter than us because we're kind of new to this, but there's a lot of apps that hide what our kids are doing online.
Specific apps can what?
Well, I'll give you an example, which really got me. You know, I had a client that had a calculator, looked like a calculator,
right,
but it wasn't a calculator. It literally was hiding inappropriate pictures. It looks like a calculator, but it isn't. You know, there's a few sites. There's a thing called Vaulty, and it stores photos and videos away from parents. Hmm. And then any time you try and access Vault, it'll take a picture of whoever that is, right?
Hmm.
And
right.
So it helps your kid hide things from you. So that's alarming. I think that's an alarming thing for me. There's an up-and-coming one called Line, and it's a kind of what I would say an all-in-one. It's a chatting, photo, video, free texting, free videos, video calls. The problem is that they can decide how long their message stays up. It can be up to, I think the minimum is 2 seconds, and the maximum is a week.
Hmm.
And they can, they say it needs parents' permission, but there's no monitoring, and it accepts credit cards. So that's a big one I think we kind of want to look for.
And is this just for parents also that are interested? I mean, could the police did the police use Blaze's phone to find information on his killer?
You know, it's such a great question. I think one of the takeaways is that we have to start really putting pressure. These apps that they really do a lot to protect the minor. And it concerns me a lot because one of the things that Jeannie has been talking about and been asking for is, you know, opportunities to fight some of these apps that will not release information to anyone but the user.
Doctor, is legislation required? Is this something that that our representatives need to take a look at? Because I'm also curious, how do these apps even exist, especially on the Apple side? I can't imagine that Apple would condone something that you know, tricks people. Is this more prevalent in Android than it is on the iOS side? Or
no, I wish it was. It isn't. You know, they're in both markets. You know, the one thing I'd say is it is money. We know that our teenagers are one of the largest consumers in all areas, and especially technology. If you start to look at some of the stats, our teenagers are spending up to 50 hours a week online. And that's a long time, and there's a lot of consumer opportunity. There's an association, the Journal of Association for Consumer Research provides a lot of information about our children as consumers. So I would say, in answer to your question, Paul, the reason these exist is because of money. There's a great opportunity to make a lot of money. Number two is I also do think that we need to start calling our legislatures, and we need to speak to as many people in power as possible to at least allow for more monitoring from our minors. We have a lot of young children that are posing as older than they are, and there's no way to document it or to manage that.
It seems like the Wild West, mm-hmm. like anything goes. And I just can't believe that these apps exist, but that's just the naivete in me. And doctor, somebody once said to me, look, if the product is free, you are the product. And that has stuck with me mm-hmm. over the years. Mm-hmm. There is no free lunch, and, you know, buyer beware.
That's right. Except, being an immigrant to this, we didn't grow up with this. You know, your 14-year-old, Jordana, mm-hmm. as much as we can relate and we, you know, hope that we can understand where she's coming from, we have no idea what it would be like to have technology like that. I mean, I for one am thrilled that some of the silliness and the pictures that we used to have to wait a couple weeks to get developed, mm-hmm. you know, could you imagine that they're just at their fingertips at all times? Mm-hmm. So it's very hard, I think, for parents to kind of manage this. And unfortunately, I think, you know, we shouldn't wait for situations like happened with Blaze. We really need to find opportunities to talk to our children as young as possible about what it is to be a consumer, what it is to be online, and what these sites really are. I mean, they even have like a Tinder for teenagers now. I mean, it's
what
they're coming. They're hitting hard.
Dr. Hillary Buff, some scary stuff, but stuff we need to be aware of and need to talk to each other and our children about. Dr. Buff, I know you do seminars. Is there a website that we can go to?
Sure. I'm at drhillarybuff.com. And, you know, where I'm speaking next is posted. And I'm also very, you know, part of my promise to the Bernstein family is that I'm doing everything I can to volunteer my services. I'm going wherever asked to speak about just what cyberspace is and how we can not get lost in it as families, as parents, and for our children and teenagers.
Dr. Buff, thank you so much for your time
thank you for what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you,
thank
Doctor.
Thank you so much. Take care.
I like that.
Yeah, royal
I like
blood.
It.
A listener writes, set up an Apple Family account. Require your kids to get your permission before they install any app on their device. It works for us.
That is great.
A notification automatically pops up on all adult devices in the family, so giving permission is easy and instantaneous.
See,
thank you. We have smart listeners.
There's a way to do it. Good for you. And by the way, I said I'll be at Abdul Sunday. I'll be there Saturday. Saturday! We'll see you tomorrow.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.